Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. How many of you remember when Memorial Day was celebrated always on the 30th of the month? You got married. All right. Well, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, we have this thought. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Theodore Roosevelt wrote, "My fellow citizens, no people on earth have more cause to be thankful than ours. And this is said reverently, in no spirit of boastfulness in our own strength, but with gratitude to the giver of good, who has blessed us with the conditions which have enabled us to achieve so large a measure of well-being and of happiness," unquote. Only if our politicians today would have that same feeling, that we have an almighty God who has blessed America beyond measure. Would you please stand as we read from Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." Can I say this? Every pastor hopes that the people of his flock will stand fast in the Lord. Verse 2, "I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." Can I say this? You need to have your name written down in the book of life, so that you will stand before the Lord and will be allowed to enter into heaven's glory. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look here into the Word of God. And in our mind's eye, we see the Apostle Paul either writing or quoting this to the writer. And you see his love and concern for that body of believers. Lord, we pray that you would bless this outpost of faith today, that we may remain strong for the cause of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Memories. It means remembrance, reminisce, to recollect, to recall, or a souvenir. Memories are important to me. As stated in the past, our house has many pictures that remind me of our walk in life, which will be next month, 51 years. And I wish Donna was with us, but while we were in Oregon, our granddaughter came with a head cold, and she gave it to my wife, and she is home, And you know how it is after COVID, if someone coughs, everybody looks around and has this feeling, uh-oh, what do they have? And so she is at home. She said she was going to watch me. So if you are Donna, hello. We have many items that we have brought back from our trips, with them precious memories. T-shirts, blown glass ornaments. We have a tree that we put up around Thanksgiving that has over 300 blown glass ornaments on it. And when I open the box and take the ornament out, I read where we got it and when we got it, it brings back memories. And we have many turned wood bowls or wood boxes that when I look at them, they remind me precious memories. I remember when our first boy was born, Matthew, and it was in Arlington, Texas. And because my wife had to have cesarean, the child was not born up in the normal area. He was born in the emergency room. And they came and got me and led me to the elevator where there was Matthew bloody like he'd been in a battle. They hadn't even cleaned him yet. A precious memory. When Brian was born over here at what was Crittenden Hospital, the nurse that came in to get me said, "Your wife said you'll be happy," which meant I had another boy. You know, precious memories. I love to reminisce of places that I've been. I do not have to have anyone to which I'm talking. Just remembering out loud. Now, I don't know if any of you are quite that way, but I'll walk and talk and just reminisce about some place that I've gone. But this church building is full of memories for me. I was 11 years old when I would come over and walk around the building and my dad would tell me what they had done that day, how they had put the decking up there, how they had done different things, memories that this building has for me. It is within these walls that I was taught the Word of God by past church members, Bob Badacher, Don Cochran, Rich Lee, my mother, who taught the senior highs when I was there, and of course, my dad. It was within these walls that I first saw my future wife. You've been told the story many times. And it is within these walls, in this very room, right down there, that I married my wife now of almost 51 years. It was in these walls that my wife and my sons were baptized in the baptistry behind. It was within these walls I had my last conversation with my brother, who passed away at the age of 38. Some people think that people are all old when they die, but since returning from Oregon and returning to work this past week at the funeral home, we had a young man of 31, a man of 57, a man of 28, and a man of 42. Folks, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. Life is short. It is within these walls that we held the funeral services for my brother, and I did the funeral service for my mother and my dad right here. Within these walls, memories. It was within these walls that I worshiped with future ministers and their wives, Neil and Phyllis Jackson, Jim and Dot Foster, Bob and Marilyn Plennis, Donna Rice Daves, Bob and Sandy Schwartz, and others who served the Lord faithfully. We had members like Barbara Lyons, who was the one that invited my mother to church when she was 15 years old. Eugene and Lydia Weinberger, Margie Prince, Don and Marion Cochran, Ed Johnson, Bud and Fern Smith, Rich Lee and his son Greg, and I could go on and on and on of those that I had the privilege of serving the Lord with. Unfortunately, not all memories are sweet. There are those that are difficult. But in the book of Revelation, we find the phrase, "And there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." A time to ponder, a time to reflect. Tomorrow, as we gather maybe with family and friends and have a picnic or whatever, take time to ponder the blessings of God upon this great country. Take time to remember what we have been blessed with. You probably, well, maybe, I should say, like me, maybe you have been to the Vietnam Wall. And what's one of the things that you notice at the Vietnam Wall is how quiet it is. And you see the reflection. Like me and my wife, because we graduated from the same high school, we looked up the names of those classmates who died far too young. And if you've been there, you see those, the memorial for the Korean conflict, and the men are looking at the wall. It's quiet. You go over to the tomb of the unknown soldier, and the only noise is the sound of the soldier as he walks back and forth, as we ponder those who have done so much for us. As the bumper sticker says, many gave some gave all. And then also, home of the free because of the brave. You have heard me say on many occasions that the United States of America is truly blessed because of gospel preaching churches. Oh, we had gold and silver found in our land, and oil, and so many other things, but may I say this, our greatest blessing is gospel preaching churches. And one of the reasons our country is in such a mess today is because we don't have as many gospel preaching churches proclaiming the truth. Oh, we have entertainment centers, and we have houses of worship. But how many of them are proclaiming that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain? On our recent trip to Oregon, we were privileged to go to two different Baptist churches. And can I say this? When you go on vacation, find yourself a good Baptist church to go to. Two reasons. Number one, you need to be fed the Word of God. You're on vacation. It doesn't mean you're on vacation from the church. Okay? But number two, it's good to know there are other people like you who are serving the Lord faithfully. The first one we went to was in Newport, Oregon. And we've been there on at least five occasions now, maybe six. They do things differently. Their Sunday school begins at 9:45. And then worship is at 11. But then they have their evening service at 2 o'clock. And that might be interesting, huh? Yes. And their pastor was Lance Simeon. But I thought that was interesting. We have Pastor Lance, but he was Pastor Lance. And then last Sunday, we were in Troutdale, and we were at the Open Door Baptist Church. First Baptist church we ever attended when we went out to Oregon on vacation. And if you haven't been to Oregon, you need to go. You need to go to the ocean, and you need to go along the Columbia River Gorge and see all the waterfalls. Now, I'm not a paid person. I get nothing for that. But go. But when you're in Oregon, I'll tell you where the Baptist churches are. See, gospel preaching churches are a blessing for our nation. This past Wednesday, grandchild number four, Travis, graduated high school from Northview high school there in Grand Rapids. Their ceremony was at Calvin College. They had 32, count them, 32 students that had a 4-point or better grade point average. That's pretty good, isn't it? Of 250 students, 32 of them had a grade point average. Don't ask me what mine was, okay? I did graduate, okay? But the highest one, the valedictorian, in front of all the students and student body, all the faculty and all those that were there, got up and said his first words, "To God be the glory." Can you imagine doing that as a 17 or 18-year-old senior in front of all those you are graduating with? To God be the glory. We are to be testimonies of the cause of Christ. Godly men and women that were willing to take the gospel to the spiritually needed, preaching the gospel of redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. Men like George Whitefield, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, Lee Robertson, Bruce Cummins, Earl K. Odom, Al Kasten, Roy Johnson, Tom Malone, Paul Vanaman, and the list goes on of men who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can never repay the debt I owe this outpost of faith for men and women who willingly sacrifice their will for the Lord's will to be done. Who down through the years paid the price so that these buildings could have been built. The first one next door in 1960, and then this one later on. I often wonder when James Elliott, Nate Saint, Ed McCauley, Peter Fleming, and Roger Yundaran knew that things had gone bad, that they could not get back to their small airplane, that they knew there was no escape, that death was certain, that they were about to enter heaven's glory, all for the cause of Christ. And who could imagine that the wives of some of those missionaries that were killed there by the Indians in South America would go back and lead a revival service there. And that the very men that killed their husbands would come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. That those men could say with the saints of Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." We could use so many verses and so many thoughts today. But on a trip to Texas, the pastor of the Pleasant View Baptist Church gave this thought: hallow Christianity, hallow churches, hallow Christians. And why is that? Because the Word of God is not important to too many. The Word of God has been something that is a bother to people instead of a blessing to people. Let me give you an example. The pastor puts in the bulletin a quote from the Word of God. Do you read it? Oh, you read the comic that he has there, or the thought that is there, but do you read the scriptures that are quoted in the bulletin? The Word of God is precious. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, these are words that many of you probably even have memorized, but I'd like to remind you of them this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Now, I know you're going to say, are you going to talk about Oregon again? Yes. Just for a moment, okay? Do you get the idea that I like Oregon? Yeah. I do. Do I like it as much as Tennessee? That's debatable. Okay. But while we were in Oregon, my grandchildren and I went to 35 different waterfalls. 35. Now you say, well, Pastor Paul, that's nice. What's that going to do with anything? Well, let me tell you this. When you have blood clots in both your lungs, it's a big deal. Because what is the one thing about waterfalls that usually you're doing? You're either walking uphill or you're walking downhill, one or the other. So when you're walking uphill, boy, those grandkids had to be patient, didn't they? Because the old man, you know, you're 70 years old. You know, you don't have what you once had. But finally be strong. And they would say, Grandpa, it's okay. It's okay. You know what we need to do? We need to be strong in the Lord. Because it's uphill in our world today. Okay? It's uphill. There are those who are trying to silence the gospel believers in our society. And if they do, who is going to proclaim the truth? If we don't do it, who will? May I say this? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, because we can't do it on our own. We need the help of the Lord. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it all on. But notice verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, if I were to ask you the question, do we live in an evil day? Your answer would be yes. When you think back to 1960, and we thought it was rough then, it's really rough now. Oregon, like Michigan, has the marijuana things where you can stop. And I thought Michigan had a lot. Oregon has twice as much. Homosexuality runs rampant in Oregon. We find that there are those who have nothing to do with the gospel. Does that mean all the Baptist churches in Oregon ought to shut their doors and come to Michigan? No. How has God blessed Oregon? With waterfalls? With the Pacific Ocean? How has God blessed Oregon? With gospel preaching churches. How has He blessed Michigan? Where we are unsalted, and we have waterfalls, but we have gospel preaching churches, having done all to stand. If you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Pastor Stephen, you were all around this verse, but you didn't get this one. Verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. The Apostle Paul knows that his time on earth is short. And he writes these words to Timothy. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Three beautiful testimonies. Now, put on your thinking cap, because I'm going back to Oregon once again. What two famous people are talked about over and over and over again in Oregon? Historical people. They went out there under the leadership of a president of the United States. They found the Pacific Ocean. Did I hear somebody back there? Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark. Did someone say it over here too? Very good. And over here, three people, very smart people. Wouldn't you agree they're smart people? What do we know about Lewis and Clark? Number one, they didn't give up. They didn't give up. They made it all the way to the Pacific Ocean. They've got monuments and statues and names of colleges and people and cities for these two men, Lewis and Clark. And of course, there's the Oregon Trail. And that was no easy task. They didn't give up. Well, I'm going to say this. We may not get any statues here, but if we stand firm for the Lord and we finish our course and we keep the faith and we fight the good fight, and the Lord says, welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that going to be a blessing? And it's going to be something that you are going to remember for the rest of eternity, that the God of the universe said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The book of Hebrews tells us it's impossible to please him without faith. How's your faith today? Shall we stand together? Pastor Stephen's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation, and Cheryl is going to come to one of the instruments. Maybe today you'd like to come to the altar. Or maybe if you can't bow down, you know, we get to a certain age, the getting down's okay. If the getting up is really the pain. And you'd like to sit on the front pew and pray and say, Lord, help me keep the faith. Help me in the fight. Let me finish my course. You can come and pray for yourself. By yourself, or we'll be willing to pray with you if you ask. Or maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know is going through a struggle right now. You come and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, may your name be honored and glorified. Help us, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.